Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's stand together. We'll read this passage of Scripture. I'll jump right into it. And I'll get through these 27 points with three subpoints each there very quickly. All right. Let's read it. I beseech you. Let's read it together. All right. Out loud. Okay. Here we go. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Heavenly Father, there's so many directions we could go with this passage of Scripture and so many things we could talk about, but I pray you'll just guide and direct our thoughts tonight. Lord, I pray you'll help every person in this room. Help us, Lord, if we're saved, to be better Christians when we go out of here with better ideas and greater faith and higher goals. And then, Father, I pray that anyone in this room that's not 100% sure that they are saved, that they have a home in heaven when they die, I pray that tonight will be the night of their salvation. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And I am glad the devil is going to lose. Praise the Lord. Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know, it grieves me to watch young people and adults who say they love the Lord making selfish decisions that are outward demonstrations of the exact opposite of what the Bible says a Christian ought to do. And I believe that one of the great needs in our churches, yes, revival is needed, but I believe renewal is needed in the life of so many Christians. And I'm saying tonight, the title of the message, Seeking God's Face Through Personal Renewal. I mean, every person in this room tonight, think about this. Don't use the old pitchfork and pass it on back. Don't sit there and say, I wish old Billy Bob was here. He could really use that. Hey, look, tune in tonight. Make it personal. I mean this. You say, preacher, are you preaching at me? I'm trying to with all my heart. I want you to get this tonight. I want it to have an impact on your heart and on your life. And I want you to think with me as we think about seeking God's face through personal renewal. I want to give you three or four very simple thoughts. Number one, who is it that needs a personal renewal? The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. God's talking about His people. Hey, you don't call the unsaved people brethren. The brethren were those who were saved. He was writing to the church at Romans, at Rome. Paul was assuming as he wrote this letter, as he penned this epistle under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he was assuming that those people who were members of that church at Rome were saved people, that they were his brothers and sisters in Christ. And he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And again, it's my people that are called by my name that need to be seeking God's face. There's a reason why that a person has his mind in the gutter or in the world. I'm talking to God's people now. I'm talking to Christian people who live below their privileges. I'm talking to grown adult men who get some kind of a kick by looking at dirty pictures on the internet. Or have a magazine stuffed away somewhere down at the shop or in the garage or whatever. I'm talking about teenagers who use the wrong kind of language or who try to be cool or who try to emulate or imitate the pop music culture or some other ungodly thing in this whole world. I'm talking to the ladies who like to spend too much time gossiping or watching the soap operas or reading the love magazines or whatever else it is. They think that this, Desperate Housewives or something like that. They think, oh, that's a good program and all that kind of thing. And if it's not that, maybe it's not anything of that magnitude. Maybe it's something lesser than that. But things that looking to the world, wanting to see, wanting to have the world's fashions instead of looking to the Word to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? First words out of Paul's mouth when he was converted there on that road to Damascus when he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus who you're persecuting. And Paul said immediately, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And from that time forward, it was no longer the will of Paul. It was the will of God that was important in his life. That's why he penned this passage. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. He said, brethren, let me have your attention. Let me give you a message from heaven. Let me help you in your Christian life. Who is it that needs personal renewal? My friend, it's you and it's me. And why do we need it? Well, there's two or three reasons. Some people are rebellious and going the wrong direction, have their mind in the gutter or in the world because they are lost. Now, you're not the brethren. But I will tell you this tonight, you can become one of the brethren. You can become a brother or sister in Christ. You can be born into the family of God tonight if you're willing to take God and His Word and receive Him and believe Him and trust Him and call on Him. He'll save you right here tonight. But there's another reason. Reason number two that people need personal revival or renewal, and really that first person doesn't really need renewal, they just need to become a new creature in Christ in the first place. Can't renew something that's never been new. And you're a new creature in Christ when you get born again into the family of God. But so, number reason one is because they're lost. Reason number two is because they are rebelling. They're hanging with the wrong crowd. You know, at Shawnee Baptist College, Northside Christian School, in our church family and youth department, I've never seen a young person go bad by themselves. It's always there's always a partner in crime somewhere that's influencing them. They've always come under the influence of some other person that has their mind and their heart in the gutter or in the world. My friends, you need to watch out who you're looking at, who you're talking to, who you're spending time with. I tell the folks when they come to college, you know, sometimes, man, they come, some of these girls are looking for an MRS degree. And they come to college, and I almost got to the place where I said, hey, first semester, nobody's allowed to date or something, you know, or even sit with a boy in church or whatever, because they come and they get this emotional attachment, and they think they're in love. Man, that's a dangerous thing. And I want to tell you, here's a measuring stick I give them. And you young people, listen to me a minute. If there's a girl or a guy that you're interested in, if your interest in that person and you're getting to know that person doesn't result in you becoming a better Christian than you are, you need to flee. You need to get away from that relationship. Anybody who causes you to be less than God wants you to be is not the will of God for your life. Just mark it down. But who is it that needs personal renewal? It's me and it's you. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. And then he said this, look at number two. How does that renewal, personal renewal take place? Look at this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Amen. It's by the mercies of God. He said, Paul said, without Him, Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. It's by the mercies of God. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. He says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Listen, great is thy faithfulness. Hey, we can be renewed by the mercies of God, and those mercies of God are available to us. They're new every morning. Hey, do you meet with God in the morning? Do you take time in the Word of God and in prayer and asking God by His mercy to renew your heart, renew your mind, to help you get on the right track that morning and stay there? You say, well, I was on the right track when I went to bed. Why would I have to do that? I'll tell you why. Because the devil is wicked. We heard about him tonight. And did you know that while you're asleep, you may have put that old nature to death yesterday, but while you were sleeping, he had a resurrection. When you wake up in the morning, he's alive and well once again. That's why Paul said, I die daily. Every day he had to have a funeral and put that old man to, look, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I have a new heavenly nature. But boy, there's a problem. I still have an old earthly worldly nature. I'm not in heaven yet. The total eradication of my old nature has not yet taken place. Therefore, every day I have to make a decision to say to myself, self, I'm not going to live for you today. I'm going to live for that new heavenly nature that God's given me. I'm going to live for that Christ who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm going to yield myself to that Spirit of God who lives in me. Have that renewal. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. I have people tell me, well, preacher, it's just my personality. I just can't change. Hold on. Time out. How many of you could save yourself? Well, how many of you are saved? Well, how did you get saved? By the grace of God. By God's mercy and grace. You got saved. You couldn't save yourself, but you didn't stay lost because you couldn't save yourself. And you say, well, I just can't change myself. I know you can't. If you could change yourself, you wouldn't need him. He said, without me, he can do nothing. And that same Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You need to nurture that new nature. You need to come out of the spiritual closet. Boy, everybody else is coming out of the closet with all their wickedness. Time for God's people to come out of the closet, take a stand for Jesus Christ, and by the mercies of God, I can't change. No, I can't change. But I couldn't save myself either. But I trusted Him to save me, and I trusted Him to change me. And I'm not yet what I want to be and what I ought to be, but praise God, I'm not what I was. Amen. By the mercies of God, there's a transformation taking place. A personal renewal. He accepts us in spite of ourselves, and He does it for His name's sake. He's long-suffering and kind. 1 Corinthians 13, that's because God is love. By His mercy, He's willing to transform you and me. You see, the love showed up and the mercy came down and the grace went out and it got to me. That grace of God came to me one day. I got saved. That's a good message. I tell you, I'm preaching Sunday morning. Number one, who is it that needs personal renewal? It's you and me. How does that personal renewal take place? By the mercies of God, not by our efforts, not by our ability. But there is a third point, and that's this. What is my responsibility for personal renewal? I can't renew myself, but I do have some responsibility if that renewal is to take place. Is what he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. He said, I can change you, but you got to give yourself to me. God won't force you. God is not an Islamic. He will not put a gun to your head and force you to serve Him. Or a knife to your throat or anything else. God loves you. He gave His Son to die for you. He saved you in most every case here. And now He is beseeching you to give Him your body that He might transform you and bless you and use you and give you a personal renewal in your life. Amen. To be used of God. It's my responsibility. Yieldedness. That's my responsibility. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Paul said it like this too. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Oh, what a great God. See, I have a responsibility to present my body to Him. Now, we're living in a culture today where money and the body is everything. He said, preacher, how do I present my body to Christ? Well, you give Him authority about everything concerning your body. Listen to this. Let me give you three very simple things. What you put in it, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What you put on it, and what you do with it. It's pretty simple, isn't it? What you put in it, what you put on it, what you do. If you're going to give Him your body, you've got to give Him... It's okay, God, it's no longer mine, it's yours. You make the call. Are you really willing for God to make the call? Son, when you go there and you go into the store, buy those droopy drawers, you try to find one that's got a stride, comes down a million. Yeah, it's amazing. Now I watch these guys walking around out here. I used to, you know... I see some of these guys with their cutoffs and the way they hang down and they're big. And I say, that boy's wearing culottes. But he needs to pull them up. I mean, seriously. You consulted with God and that's what He told you to do. Hello? You say, well, God's not interested in that. You think God loves you less than your parents love you or than you love your children? I believe God's interested in every part about you. The very hairs of your head are all numbered, the Bible says.
There went number 1,982 right there.
They're all numbered. You think God doesn't care? You say, well, yeah, but you're talking about the outward appearance, and man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. Well, that's true. That's a good Bible verse. My Bible also says that the things on the outside reveal what's on the inside. But it also says this, God put me in the world to represent Him, to influence those men who are looking on the outward appearance. I'm supposed to represent God. I am His ambassador. He sent me and every Christian into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. I think He does care. It's amazing to me how people are dressed up for a job interview, at least they used to. They look like they're ready for the beach to come to church. They want to impress some superintendent or some human resource department at some employer thing, and they would want to impress them. But they don't care whether, as they represent God, anybody's impressed or not. Well, it's just my business. I think comfort's the key. God never called us to be comfortable. He didn't call us to be at ease in Zion. Although, in my case, I didn't wear a tie today. I forgot my tie and I left it home. I went over. This is a Walmart tie. I got it this morning. And I went down to the desk. See, my wife didn't come with me. I went down to the desk and said, it says in the room there that if you forgot anything, I said, do you have a razor? I had to go get a razor down there. Boy, that's a cheap razor too, man. It didn't come with shaving cream. It didn't come with aftershave to even cool it down, man. It was rough. It was a rough thing. Do you feel sorry for me yet? I mean, suffering for Jesus. Oh, my. We have a personal responsibility. Yeah. Hey, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I've got a fire insurance policy against hell and I don't have to go there. I'm glad I'm a citizen of heaven and I've got a new home that I'm going to someday. But that doesn't relieve me of any responsibility to God. Now, living a godly life doesn't change my destination. I'm going to heaven now because I've been born into the family. But I want to please Him. He's my Heavenly Father. I want to honor Him. I want to love Him. I want others to see Christ in me. Hey, what's my responsibility? Present your body as a living sacrifice. But there's another part of that. Not only yieldedness, what about holiness? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. He says, but he which hath called you is holy. But as he that which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation doesn't mean how you communicate with people by your talk, but it's also how you communicate with people by your walk. It's your lifestyle. It's conversation. As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What a great God we have. The thrice holy God. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Holy for the Father. Holy for the Son. Holy for the Holy Ghost. The thrice holy God. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. You see, God's goal is not to have a bunch of dirty vessels. God wants you to be clean. Holiness is what is acceptable. Holy, acceptable unto God. What's it? What's acceptable unto God? Holiness. We present ourselves to Him holy. And He said, which is your reasonable service. You see, unholiness is not acceptable to God. I don't care how you cut it. I don't care what your excuse for it is. Drunkenness, wicked living, immorality, profanity, pornography, None of that's holy. If Jesus were to come tonight, if you knew He was coming, you'd go home and start cleaning some things out and throwing some things away and rearranging your priorities. You might even go clean out your closet. Holiness. Number four. What is the conflict surrounding personal renewal? What's the conflict? What's the big deal about it? I said, who is it that needs personal renewal? It's me. It's you. How does personal renewal take place? By the mercies of God. What is my responsibility for personal renewal? Presenting my body a living sacrifice and being holy. And then, what is the conflict surrounding personal renewal? Here's what it is. It's confirmation versus transformation. You see, the world, that he said, be not conformed to this world. The world's trying to press you into its mold. He said, don't be conformed to the world, be ye transformed. Transformed. You know what, when something is transformed, you know what happens? Any electricians in here? Anybody electrician out here? You know what those things, those big round things up on the telephone pole, what do they call those? Transformers. What happens when a transformer? What happens? There's a line that feeds into that thing, and what's the voltage or the wattage or whatever it is on that line? What? 32,000. Why don't they just plug it into your refrigerator? Just plug it in, turn it on. Now they have to transform it first. They transform. Hey, you know what happens? They send that power out, and it goes to that transformer, and that transformer changes it, and then sends it all across an area, and it lights up a city. And that awesome power of God wants to come into your life and transform you, and transform me, and send us out as little lights in this world. Teresa, hey, we can't operate in the full power of God. We could one time, it would blow us to bits. Moses came down, his face was glowing. He'd been in the presence of God. That's the kind of glory. We couldn't handle it. But God said, I'll transform you if you'll let me. I'll change your life. I'll make you usable by my power. You see, confirmation and renewal are incompatible. Confirmation and renewal are incompatible, but transformation and renewal are inseparable. Churches and individuals foolishly conforming to the world. When the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I don't mean you go around hating the world, kicking dogs and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we're not enamored by the world. We're not in love with the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. We're in love with God. We're in love with Jesus Christ. We see the world through a whole new light. We've been transformed. We've been saved and regenerated, redeemed. We're a new creature in Christ. We need God's transformation. We need the high power of God transformed to be able to be the light-giving vessels to a dark and perverse world. See, that's the conflict. God wants to transform you. The world wants to conform you. We got too many people blending into the world. I was walking around Walmart today, and I was looking. And I look at that person and say, I wonder if they're saved or not. There was no indicator either way. One way or the other. I couldn't tell. They blend right into the world. They'd fit in. They'd fit in at the bar. Yeah. I looked at a couple other people that went by and I said, I believe those people are Christians. They just looked like Christians. It was just something different. Hey, fella, is your language at work different than the other guys on the line? Are your habits cleaner than the other people around you? You talk about the latest R-rated and X-rated movie that you've seen? You kids going around, you humming the latest rat, rotten, filthy, dirty, kill the cops, have sex, do drugs, music? Are you different from the world? Are you transformed? And you go around singing about the Lord Jesus Christ. beautiful music we've heard here this week. Boy, you ought to get that ingrained in your heart. You ought to get one of these CDs, listen to it over and over so you know every song by heart. Go to it in the bookstore or whatever else they got here and load up on that stuff and get rid of the junk out of your life. Be transformed. Every preset button on your radio ought to be preset to Linton, whatever that is, W something. I also have a W, don't I? See, across them, you're sitting in their K something. WYCJ. Every preset, boom, 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 right there. That is, keep you safe. Keep you safe. You say, well, yeah, but what if I want to listen to the news? Teenagers, come on. Ain't no teenager alive ever on purpose tuned in the news. Give me a break. Parents, do not let them fake you out. The difference between renewal and revival, what is the difference? He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. What's the difference between renewal and revival? Revival affects the heart, the seat of emotions in your being. The soul, the heart, and the soul. You get revived. You get recharged. And renewal affects the mind. There's a difference. Revival affects the heart. Renewal affects the mind. He said, be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, when your mind gets renewed, it changes your attitude. Gives you a whole new attitude, a whole new outlook. How you think affects how you act. Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I heard of a man when I was working for IBM many years ago, and they had one of these motivational speakers come in to motivate us. That's why he was called a motivational speaker. And he came in, and he said, a man becomes what he thinks about all day long. And I said, that's scriptural. It's a different version, but it's scriptural. You know, we let the world, isn't it amazing? We let the world use biblical principles to make millions of dollars, and we won't even apply biblical principles in our life to keep people out of hell. Amazing, isn't it?